Hi, everyone. Welcome to the FDIP, the official podcast of the Faculty Development and Innovation Center at EIU. I'm Kim Irvin, instructional designer at EIU, and your host today. This podcast series is to further promote teaching excellence through the sharing of information related to instructional design, teaching strategies, and innovation. In this episode, I discuss incorporating open educational resources, commonly referred to as OERs, into your course. Welcome back. I hope you had a great summer and that your semester has started off very positively. Since this is my first podcast of the new academic year, I thought I would use it to share what I spent part of my summer doing and some information to consider about using open educational resources or OERs in your course. This past summer, I had the honor of working with EIU faculty who received a grant to incorporate OERs into their courses. Now, the backstory on the grant is last spring, Booth Library and the FDIC partnered to extend an opportunity for funding for EIU faculty interested in authoring, adopting, or adapting OER content for implementation into their course design. The funding source for this opportunity actually came from a grant program through the Illinois State Library. My work with these faculty over the summer revolved around incorporating their OERs into their courses in sound, instructional design methods by intentionally aligning them to module and course objectives. Faculty used the backward design template available from the FDIC to complete this alignment process. For more information on backward design, course alignment, and the backward design template, see their related links in the show notes. In addition to working on this OER project over the summer, I also had the opportunity to complete two professional development courses about OERs through the University of Illinois Springfield's Illinois Online Network, otherwise known as ION. Combining the experience I gained in working directly with faculty on their OERs and knowledge I gained from the two professional development courses, I have some poignant points about incorporating OERs into your course that I can share. To bring everyone listening to a common understanding, let's start with some basic information about OERs. OERs are teaching, learning, and research materials that are freely accessible and openly licensed. They can be in any medium, digital or print, and include everything from textbooks to videos to podcasts, quizzes to entire course module content and more. OERs are actually not a new thing. The concept of OERs is rooted in the open education movement, which began in the late 20th century. A significant milestone for OERs was MIT's Open Courseware Project back in 2001, which some listeners may remember. This project set a precedent for freely sharing educational materials online. A key component to understanding OERs is to understand the meaning of and the spirit behind the word open in OER. The word open in the context of OER means more than just being able to freely access an educational resource. Just having a link to a textbook, a podcast, a video, or any other course content doesn't mean it's an open educational resource. When a resource is open in the context of an OER, it means it has the 5R freedoms of being open. And those 5Rs are reuse, revise, remix, redistribute, and retain. Now let's take one at a time. Reuse means you're free to use the content in its unaltered form. For example, you might adopt an open textbook for your course and use it as is. Revise means you can adapt or modify the content. Let's say you find an OER textbook that is almost perfect for your course, but it's missing a chapter on a key topic. You can add that topic to the OER yourself. Remix means you can combine the original or revised content with other material. For instance, you might combine chapters from different OER textbooks and a chapter you wrote yourself to create a new OER for use in your course. Redistribute means you can share copies of the original, revised, or remixed content. After creating that custom textbook, you could share it with other colleagues in your department or even publish it as another OER for others to use. Lastly, retain means you can make, own, and control copies of the content. Unlike with some digital resources, you can download and keep copies of OERs, ensuring you always have access to the version you are using in your course. It's these five R freedoms: reuse, revise, remix, redistribute, and retain, that fulfill the true meaning and spirit of what OERs are and that truly make them so powerful and flexible for faculty. The benefits of using OERs in your courses are many. The first and foremost, and maybe the obvious benefit, is cost savings. By using OERs, we can help ensure that all learners have access to course materials, regardless of their financial situation. While this benefit is generally the first one mentioned by OER advocates, we do acknowledge EIU's unique textbook rental system, which offers tremendous cost savings to our learners. Other benefits of using OERs include expanding course content possibilities. OERs broaden choices of potential course content. OERs can be adopted as is or adapted and customized to create content that better suits your teaching objectives and our learners' needs. Content that enriches the learning experience also enriches learning and enhances potential for learning outcome achievement. Another benefit is OERs are more likely to maintain up-to-date information. OERs can be more up-to-date than other types of resources because of their quicker production time, enabling them to be more relevant to your specific course needs. Accessibility and equity are other benefits. Harnessing the advancements in technology to provide everyone multimodal and equal access to educational resources also impacts a learner's ability to engage with course content. When learners have options for the mediums in which course content is offered, they're more likely to engage because a medium that fits their current need is available. Keeping the learner engaged supports enhanced achievement of learning outcomes. The last benefit I'll mention related to OERs is copyright. Have you ever found content that would be a perfect resource, image, video, quiz, for your course, but you've had difficulty figuring out the copyright, perhaps even the author or terms of use? The open license assigned to OERs lets you know exactly how the author intends for it to be used, eliminating any copyright concerns. If OERs are piquing your interest for potential course content, let me offer five considerations to move you from thinking about incorporating OERs to actual OER implementation. First, identify your needs. Think about how OERs can support your learning objectives and what gaps you need to fill in your course content. If you have aligned all your course content with module and course objectives, it becomes easier to identify what specific resources you need to fill in the gaps or provide alternate mediums of course content. Might it be a full textbook, supplementary materials, or perhaps you're wanting to author an OER because information of a certain topic is limited? OER options are vast, so it will be easier for you if you have an idea of what you need before you go OER shopping. After identifying your needs, then search for OERs. There are several great online repositories, search engines, sites, and even job roles available to help you search. Currently, a couple heavyweight repositories, and there are several heavyweight repositories, are OER Commons and the Mason OER MetaFinder, also known as MOM. FYI, the first M is for Mason George University. In the show notes is a link to a document containing a plethora of URL links and suggestions for finding OERs. Next, review and evaluate the OER. Start by verifying that the license conditions or terms allow for your intended use. In other words, does the license conditions allow you to reuse, revise, remix, redistribute, and retain the way you want to? In the show notes is a link to a URL that describes the different license conditions an OER can be assigned. After license conditions are verified, conduct a thorough evaluation of the OER. Another link in the show notes is to a rubric to help you evaluate the quality of an OER you may be considering. This rubric was developed by Achieve.org. Now, Achieve's mission is that all students graduating from high school be ready for college, careers, and citizenship. The OER rubric they develop for high school teachers to use to evaluate OERs is a sophisticated quality tool that university faculty are using as well. The full version of the Achieve OER rubrics include 8 OER rubrics to help determine quality of OER, including alignment of OER to Common Core standards. The link in the show notes is to a synthesized version of this rubric that removes the focus of Common Core standards and is the version more university faculty use. Its review criteria is broad. It includes alignment to course objectives, explanation of subject matter, utility for instruction, quality of assessment, quality of technological interactivity, quality of instructional and practice exercises, opportunities for deeper learning, and accessibility. It's a 2-page landscape document that provides standards for each of those criteria at 3 levels: superior, limited, weak, or not available. After you have identified your OER needs, searched for OER, reviewed and evaluated the OER, next is to adopt or adapt the OERs you want to use in your courses. Adopting the OER refers to just using the OER as is. Adapting refers to revising or remixing the OER. Now, with adapting an OER, there are some considerations, such as the tools that you would use for editing the OER, the output format for the resource, access to the resource, and choosing an open license for the new OER that you're creating. Creating an open license is free and a simple process. Included in the show notes is a link to a Creative Commons license builder that walks you through the process step by step. Lastly, once the OER is ready, distribute it to your learners. Consider offering training and support for learners who may be unfamiliar with using OER, especially if the platform where the OER lives is new to them. Establish a plan for regularly updating and maintaining the OER to ensure its relevance and accuracy over time. And even consider involving your learners in the process of creating, improving, and evaluating an OER. This can enhance their engagement and provide valuable feedback for continuous improvement. Like any course design change, implementing OERs into your courses is an iterative process. Start small, maybe replace one reading with an OER, or use OERs as supplementary materials. Now, if you'd like to discuss how to get started in using OERs in your courses, feel free to reach out to me at 217-581-3716 or at ksirvin@eiu.edu. Thanks for listening and continuing to learn. Hey, before we go, I want to share a behind-the-podcast-scenes tip. This podcast script was initially drafted using AI. I fed the transcript from my recent OER webinar into an AI tool and asked it to generate a draft script for a 15-minute podcast. Starting with a script to edit saved me a lot of time rather than generating a script from scratch. I wanted to share this tip because faculty could use similar methods to quickly create different forms of their content. Imagine turning your recorded lectures into a student study guide, or transforming a syllabus into an infographic. The possibilities are endless. Consider how AI might help you repurpose your existing content in new and creative ways. If you have any specific questions about the process I used, please feel free to reach out.